for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Podcast, you want to touch it? That's enough. Hey guys, I'm Colin. In a second, you're gonna hear Cheech, and this is Dreamwork. In case that little bit didn't let you know what's going on here, we are talking about Rey Mysterio and Kidman this week, and somewhere in the recording with Cheech, I joked that I was just going to recite the Filthy Animals theme in the intro. So, I turned my life around with me in a single bag, and you got the effing nerve to ask me where the F I'm at. Different stages, different faces I see up in the crowd. It's them same ass fools. They say my mind's in the clouds. Vato, 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 how you make us get down. Now what's the name of every soldier of ours who bring the sound? Easy pulling tricks like your David Copperfield. So let us sign this spiel on the 2-inch wheel. I snatch the rabbit out of your hat and choke it. I snatch the weed out of your pocket and smoke it. Do you really want to F with a perro? Down with a skeleton playing on a cello from the ghetto? That's all I got. I can keep going. Ashes to ashes and back to dust. And before I go, fool, believe I'm a bust. That's right. It's Rey Mysterio. It's Billy Kidman. Me and Cheech talk real long. So that's all I'm going to say. Let's hear it. Let's go.
Hey, Cheech.
What's up, Colin?
What was your favorite part of this week's exercise? And why was it the Filthy Animals theme song?
Beautiful. I was hoping to make a cool entrance and remember the words, but I never knew the words.
Ashes to ashes and back to dust. But before I go, fool, believe I'm a bust.
Okay, that part, I knew that part, but, like, the beginning riff, I don't know, so I always wanted to, like, get into it, and I was like, I don't know the words.
luckily, I was going to say, my actual favorite part is that if you look it up, there is a human being on Reddit who took the time to type out all of the lyrics to the Filthy Animals theme.
Oh, I figured there were. Like, that's why the internet is amazing. But yeah, I assumed it was out there, and I was like, boy, I need to look it up. Because there was a while where I did know it. Like, in the day, I knew it, and I thought it was, you know, a cool track or whatever you want to say. But yeah. Now, in my old age, I totally forgot all the words.
It's actually by Conan. There was so much about, like, I'm not joking. Like, there's no section of this podcast where we discuss the entrance music, so I'm just going to rip off all my thoughts about their entrance music right now before we get into anything. That song's actually by Conan.
Yeah, isn't it Conan and Murder One, I believe?
I think it's Conan and Mad One.
Oh, Mad One. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's the M-A-D-O-N-E getting psycho.
Yeah, and it's called Psycho, and it says the F word in like the first lyric of the song.
Okay, time out. A little bit behind the curtain. How many times have we been behind the curtain and been like at a family friendly show and we're like, nobody paid attention to the music and all the cursing in this song?
Yeah, I mean, honestly though, but I was reading the lyrics and I was like, oh my God, this song is like, at one point it says something about doing weed, speed, and crack or something. And I was like, oh my God.
And then the best part is like, A, you know someone vetted it because it's on, what, TNT and TBS. And B, they didn't care and pushed it. Like, one of the things I remember hearing the announcers promote, like, oh, the new hit song by Conan and Mad One.
Yeah, but not for nothing. Yes, it swears, but it rules. That song rules.
Oh, I know. It was my favorite part. Anytime I'd start one of the matches, I'd be like, oh, it'd be like one of the first things you hear, because they usually came out first, oddly. So yeah, I'd always just hear that music. I'd be like, oh, I remember this song.
Yeah, it was great. But yeah, so anyways, guys, we're talking about Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman.
AKA the Filthy Animals.
Yes, AKA the Filthy Animals. That is this week's team. And I was preliminary thoughts. I'll go first. I was excited. I mean, I have here and there just randomly watched Kidman and Mysterio matches over the last, like, you know, 6 months to a year, just while I'm perusing through the network looking for things to watch. I'll always stop on a Kidman and Mysterio tag. So, I mean, I was excited.
Okay, I was the one who actually pitched it, and I'll tell you why. I was trying to look up teams. I wanted something different, and I wanted something WCW, because we haven't done one in a while. So I go, all right, let me look up. And I believe it was What Culture's top 15 WCW tag teams. And, like, Rey and Kidman were on there. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, yes, they were good. Like, but, like, I don't know. It struck me as odd that they were usually high on lists of tag teams for WCW. So I almost pitched them as a, like, prove it to me type way.
Yeah. We'll get into it, but I think this is one of those weeks where I was like, oh yeah, Rey and Kidman. And then as I started getting into it and started doing it, I was like, oh, wait a second. A, they don't have as much content as I thought. I thought in my head Rey and Kidman teamed all the time, and maybe it's just because anytime I see them teaming, I stop and I watch it. But they really don't have that many tag matches.
Wow. Okay, then we are on opposite sides of the fence, because when I saw them high on lists, I was like, they didn't have that many matches, did they? And oh my God, do they have way more matches than I thought.
Really? Oh, no. They have... on Cage Match, that's usually my gauge of things. They only have one page, and it's not even a full page of tag matches together, and that includes six man's and house show matches. So I literally was going through going, I might watch every Rey Mysterio and Kidman match that exists. I might watch every tag match that they had on TV, because that's like they're I'm gonna say under 25.
Yeah, I think I may have. I don't know. Let me see. I'll have to tally up my final, because I may have watched. I think I watched. I didn't. There are definitely some I missed, but I watched almost everything you could on the network and then some YouTube stuff.
I skipped some, but I got to like, I don't know my count, but I think I was at like 12 or so. And I was like, but, you know, I didn't skip a whole ton, you know.
I just did a quick peruse. I saw 23 matches. Because I was blown away. I was like I'd see another one. I'd be like, really? Another one? I was like, that's interesting. I want to watch it. And then I'd hit it again. I'd be like, another interesting one. I want to watch it. And yeah, so like it almost became a challenge.
The fact is you literally probably watched 23 of 25 tag matches that they had on TV, period.
Yeah, because there were definitely a couple repeats. There was a triple threat tag match in like Halloween Havoc 2001 that I was like, nah, that's okay.
Yeah, I watched 13, and I was just like, oh, I'll skip this one, because I was like, I can't literally watch every Mysterio and Kidman match. I can't do it. I'll just pick, you know, I'll pick and choose. I'll skip around a little bit. But yeah, I'm not joking, you probably watched them all.
No, I know I missed a few, but yeah, like I said, my preliminary thoughts were I almost saw it as like a challenge of like, okay, no, prove to me there is like, of course, you see the name Rey Mysterio, you see Billy Kidman, you know their track record, you're like, okay, obviously they're a great team together, but you know what I mean? I was like, I don't know, I just didn't think there was that much to it, and then I ended up seeing there was more than I thought, so yeah, it was very interesting.
All right. We'll get into championships and accomplishments, because this part of the show will go quickly.
All right, shoot off.
They are one-time WCW Tag Team Champions.
Yep.
I would also like to mention that in the Filthy Animals are like four-time Tag Team Champions. because somehow Ray and Hoovy were also tag champs. Ray and Conan were also tag champs. And I think Kidman and Conan were also tag champs.
I know they definitely were at one point, because there was one match where I went to watch and they were like, Ray's injured, so Conan's filling in, and they had the belt. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, so the Filthy Animals are credited as four-time tag champs. Kidman and Ray are only one time. And then they are one-time WCW Cruiserweight tag champs because they won them on the very last Nitro.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I know they made it to the finals, and I know they lost in the finals. And then, okay, yeah, so they did end up winning them on the final Nitro. That one I didn't get to. I saw the earlier match on the show of the final Nitro.
Yeah, they beat Skipper and Romeo for them on the final Nitro.
Yep, yep, yep.
So that's it, really. I looked. They were never PWI award winners or runners up or second runners up, or they aren't on any of the lists that I saw. The fact that they're on a What Culture list of WCW tag teams is a little wild.
Well, that was the thing in my head. Like I said, plus, you know, we couldn't find anything spooky for Halloween. So I was like, all right, let me just look at something random then. And I was like, oh, WCW is the place if you want random tag teams. And then, like I said, I was like, oh, let me look at some quick lists. I was surprised that they ended up being pretty high, Ray and Kidman. So I was like, all right, let's see what they got.
This week got me on so many random tangents of looking things up, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, no. That was the other thing. Like, okay, like, you think it's not a lot. I just think they've had a pretty odd, wide array of people somewhat.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. Because you watched 23 matches, so I'm sure you've watched all of the matches that I watched. And some of those matches, my eyes were, like, bugging out of my head open. I was like, I can't even believe this exists.
Yeah, man. And then the best part was I went on YouTube to find like some of the worldwide stuff that obviously isn't on the network yet. And I was like, man, the network is totally still missing out on a bunch of gold mines. Like all those, like WCW has just tons of footage, tons of matches that they never even showed, like never even made air.
Yeah, they filmed so much content with like, because they had WCW Worldwide, WCW Saturday Night, WCW Pro. And those were like C and D level shows that they would just throw random wacky shit on.
Yeah, and they would just have hours and hours of tape, and they'd be like, oh, maybe we'll show it, maybe we won't. We'll see. Yeah, it's crazy.
And WWE now owns all this. So WWE, if you're listening, which I know you are, give us the WCW Pro / Worldwide footage. Thank you.
Specifically when Bobby Heenan sells a half hour of WCW Pro to Sonny Ono, and that's where we get Toryumon guys and New Japan guys on there. I'm just saying, it was amazing.
Yeah, give us that shit. And more velocities. But yeah, because there was some, they had some velocity tags that I didn't get to watch, but I was like, man, I bet those velocity tags are fucking dope.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get to the, yeah, let me hear what you got.
All right, I'll run down mine, and then we'll get to your massive list.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
So I started at the top. Their first tag team match on TV together is against Eddie Guerrero and Hoovy from December 98. Then we get into a Psychosis and Hoovy. This is in the era of Ray is still kind of with the LWO because he has to be, but he's
that
kind of against them. Yeah. And then there's like a big gap, and then they are wrestling. They're in tag team action, as the WWE Network would tell us, because they're wrestling Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit.
Yep.
It's the first time with maskless Rey Mysterio. And the first time with Filthy Animals theme. Then we go to them against the Insane Clown Posse.
That happened. It did indeed happen.
I watched them against Disorderly Conduct. Once again, that happened.
Oh, it did.
I watched them against Revolution members Dean Malenko and Perry Saturn.
Yep.
I watched them against late era Boogie Knights. I watched them against Lance Storm and Elix Skipper.
Team Canada.
I watched them against the three count of Evan Courageous and Shannon Moore. Followed that up by moving into WWE with Matt Hardy and Shannon Moore. Then went to them against the world's greatest tag team from whatever pay-per-view, Unforgiven 03, I think it was.
Vengeance
03, and then wrapped up with a SmackDown match against Nunzio and Tajiri.
All right, all right. Surprisingly, you did hit one that I didn't. I did not get to see the Boogie Nights match. Something was wrong with my network hookup. When I would go to it, it just kept going to the beginning of the show, and it wouldn't let me fast forward. It was just like something was, at least for me, that show was corrupt on my network.
Well, that I'm sad for you. I can't wait to tell you all about it. I have so many things about that match.
All right, so let me go down my massive list. I started with a 3 count on a Thunder of Helms and Moore from January 01, a Storm and Skipper from Thunder, January 01, Raven Saturn from 99 Nitro, a Saturn Malenko from a 99 Nitro, ICP from a 99 Nitro, Benoit Malenko from a Saturday Night in 99, Eddie and Hoovy, the LWO from a Saturday Night in 98. The Park and Psychosis from a Saturday Night in 99. Disorderly Conduct from a Thunder in 99. Jung Dragons and 3 count from a Nitro. Oh, that was the last Nitro. That was the first of their 2 matches. Then versus the Armstrongs of Scott and Steve. The Cruiser Tournament, tag tournament where they wrestled Johnny Swinger and Jason Lee in the first round. Then a Nitro with Chavo and Animal from Nitro 01, a Hoovy Psychosis from Nitro 99, an Elix and Romeo from Greed, the pay-per-view 01, Kendall and Curly Bill of the West Texas Rednecks from a Thunder in 99, a 3 count from 01 on Thunder. Then I kind of did like you. I did a little chronological. I did WCW, then WWE. And then for WWE, I did Tajiri and Nunzio first, then Matt Hardy and Shannon Moore from a SmackDown, a Team Angle from a SmackDown, Conquistadors from a SmackDown. These are all 03. This one, the Un-Americans. Listen to this. Un-Americans of Christian and Storm versus Ray and Kidman, Global Warming. So they were international, WWE in 02. And then I knew when I was looking up in their write-up from What Culture, they had mentioned that they did have a good final match of sorts with World's Greatest Tag Team at Vengeance 03. So I was like, oh, a perfect ending point. That's where I'll stop.
Okay. Yeah. That's a hefty amount of Ray and Kidman. And honestly, I could have done the same. At one point, I'm watching them, and I'm just breezing through them, and I stopped myself because I was like, I can easily breeze through this catalog.
Exactly. At one point, I was like, ooh, am I going to get this done in just 2 days worth of work? I was like, no. But that's when I kept finding more and more. And then, when I went onto YouTube, I got into all these random Saturday night matches that aren't on the network yet. So those were fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous of your Saturday night viewing. Dean and Benoit on Saturday night, and what was it, a Psychosis and La Parka?
Yeah, that one.
Oh,
was
and the good. Armstrongs?
Yes, Scott and Steve, which, okay. All right, one of the main points I wanted to get to was, how light was Rey Mysterio?
Yes.
Whatever he was, like, let's say it was 150, he was a light 150. Like, no matter what he was, he weighed lighter. Like, me, for example, I'm whatever I weigh, I'm a light whatever. You know what I mean? And then there's some people that are heavy. He must have been so light because literally everyone based for him. When Scott Armstrong, the one who's a ref now, he did the lion salt off the ropes and caught him on the shoulder. And I was just like, okay, literally everyone can do that with Ray. He must literally weigh a feather.
Well, hold on. Scotty Armstrong is jacked.
I know, but I mean, like, compared to, like, other guys, like, you know what I mean? They were borderline themselves.
When I realized, so the Disorderly Conduct match was the one that really got me, because I was like, these are two, like...
Hold off. We dedicate some time to the Disorderly Conduct match.
I'm not joking. I'll do a Disorderly Conduct episode. I just want to do a Disorderly Conduct episode so I can get a full research dive. I honestly, as I'm watching this match, after I watched it, I started looking them up.
Preach. It was amazing. When you said, what was your favorite part? I was going to be like, why was Disorderly Conduct my favorite tag match in this?
The first thing I wrote on this match was, I have so many Disorderly Conduct questions.
Brother, they had nice gear. They had, they were hitting top rope shoulder tackles. Like, it was freaking amazing.
But when we talk about basing, those are some territory brothers, right?
Brother, they base so good for Ray. But, okay, that's why. In my head, them basing made sense because they're, three times the size of Ray. Scott Armstrong's, two times the size.
It doesn't matter because at one point, Ray does the springboard off the second rope, jumps straight backwards into the catch for the wheelbarrow, which is, as you know, a difficult base and a difficult catch.
That is not easy at all. Everyone, listen. That is not easy.
I watched a number of people while doing this exercise because Ray does it with a couple different guys in this. And the dude from Disorderly Conduct catches him like he's a lucha dude. And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Bro, it was amazing. They were hit. What, the neck breaker top rope sledge? Come on.
That was their finisher, by the way, that just got kicked out of. But that was their finish. I looked it up.
Well, they were down the clown. That match, they went for it. So I'm okay with them bastardizing it a little bit.
Okay, let me. I had to get Disorderly Conduct in here. We'll probably double back to him. I was in awe of a lot of it, and looked them up. One of them used to be IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Champion. You're welcome.
In my head, I was like, I hope they worked like Mid-South at some point.
They did.
I wanted to know if they're still around.
No, they're not. They're not. After the WCW money ran up, I think one of them retired in 03, the other one in 06 or something.
Nah, they still got it. Them boots are still around. They had nice gear. It's hanging up somewhere.
Yeah. So, but let's get to the beginning. Let me start at the beginning. Because they started teaming when Ray was still in a mask, but just for a little bit, end of 98, beginning of 99.
You know, it's funny. When you brought that up, when you were listing the matches, you blew my mind. I was like, holy crap, I never even thought of it in mask, non-mask terms.
Yeah, because in the beginning, they were just kind of paired together because Kidman was cruiserweight champ, and Ray was kind of forced into the LWO, so Kidman, chose Ray or whatever, right?
Yeah, they were just like two. They were like, I'm a good guy, you're a good guy. We got to face these bad guys. Let's be good guys together.
Yeah, so Ray and Hoovy, so and early on, and kind of all throughout WCW, man, did they not give a fuck about tag rules.
Dude, and it got worse as it kept going. Like, no offense, when three count showed up, that tag stuff went out the window.
So, and in the beginning, I'm writing, especially during Psychosis and Hoovy, that the Lucha guys specifically struggle with traditional tag wrestling.
Of course.
They get a pass. Guys like Three Count and Lance Storm and Elix Skipper do not get a pass.
No, I know, and they were definitely guilty of it. Oh, I know. Elix Skipper, that man, whew. One of the matches I watched, I think he hurts his shoulder 2 minutes in and just has to take vicious bumps the rest of the match. And I'm just like, oh, and a million arm whips on the bad shoulder.
Did you watch the Eddie and Hoovy match?
Yes.
Did you love the double down as much as I did?
What was it?
Ray gets sent corner to corner. Kidman hops up and does the rockers stop. Remember this?
No, I do not.
Oh, my God. Kidman does the rocker stop. Ray stops. Hoovy from the apron goes to run and break it up. As Eddie goes to run and break it up from the middle, and both Ray and Kidman move, and Eddie and Hoovy bonk heads.
Oh, that must have been dope. No, I was busy watching because I was like, okay, it's a two-on-one match, and then, okay, then here's where Ray comes, and then Ray comes in and runs wild.
Yes. Did you notice what – if you could pinpoint one thing that Rey Mysterio did in probably 90% of those matches, what is it, Cheech?
Bronco Buster?
Ooh, okay. You're probably
talking
right.
Earlier. I know you're talking earlier.
In in, I'm not joking, almost every match, he does either Rana over the top rope to the guy or the hop up and get the guy over the top rope with the feet under the arms.
Oh, yeah. That was, I always liked that one because it's just clever.
I like it too, and it clears the lane so Kidman and whoever's left in the ring can do some work, and both guys are like wiped out for like a final act.
Oh yeah. He always, that was Ray knew how to make an entrance and an exit.
I love that.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, okay.
That's great.
The three-way tag on that last Nitro of Ray and Kidman, Jung Dragons, and Three Count, like it's just, it's in out scramble, no psychology, boom 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 boom. And in my head I'm like, yo, like, aren't these guys trying to get a job? What are they doing?
I don't know, were they trying to get a job?
Well, yeah, I mean, Vince and, you know, Shane was there. People were watching. They were getting bought out by WWE. They assumed they wanted to make a good impression, so they thought, let me hit all our moves. But it was literally just, where was it? One of the matches I was like, if it walks like a spot fest and quacks like a spot fest, it's a spot fest.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. And some of those, like, once again, the early ones where they're like, where Ray's in the mask. It is those matches are just like, and we're going to do all these things. Oh, also, point about Mysterio and Kidman. They have 7,000 double team moves that they've done one time.
Yeah. That's a, you know, that's a classic luchador thing.
I'm not sure I saw them repeat a single double team move other than the launch over into the Rana, which Disorderly Conduct took.
Of course, everyone took it except for Curly Bill, a.k.a. Virgil. Kidman had to, like, lay him up kind of like a Blue Thunder and pass him up for
oh,
him
wow.
Curly Bill that way. It was kind of funny. I was like, yeah, Virgil, like, I don't know if we're going to do that Lucha Pop stuff. How about you just toss him up to me a little easier?
How many times do you think they tried it or at least, like, showed it to him before he was like, there's no way I'm doing this?
Yeah, I feel like Curly Bill was, they just tried to mention, he's like, nah.
Did you write notes for the ICP match?
Oh, yes. Kidman was working a little snug, that clothesline over the ropes, he was like, this boy's getting over the ropes.
I literally just wrote, wow. Just wow.
I wrote, Ray takes a gorilla press into a gutbuster, and that ICP do clotheslines.
Oh my god. I was excited. I saw it on the cage match, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to get to this. And then I got to it, and I was like, oh, it's kind of exactly what it was gonna be. Like, Ray and Kidman kind of helping them through what a match should be. But it also made me go, because they were talking about they beat somebody the week before, and I was like, wait, what? What are we talking about?
Wait, didn't they beat Ray and Kidman?
Yes.
I was going to say, isn't Vamp interferes and it helps them win? And I was like, oh, I was like, Christ almighty.
No, maybe you're right. I was going to say, it's either Vampiro tries to help them win, but they still don't win. I think that's actually the case. But they were talking about them winning the week before, like, ICP's on a roll. They just beat blah, blah, blah the week before. And it was like, oh, Public Enemy. And I was like, what? There's an ICP Public Enemy match in 99 that exists?
Yeah, like, the fact that they have more than one match, like, they have handfuls. It's crazy.
Yeah, because, like, you're watching, and, like, not for nothing, I'm not trying to, like, take them down or nothing, but you can tell that they have some kind of wrestling training. They take, for the most part, clean bumps. They do know what they're doing, but they're not trained to the point of completely knowing what they're doing, and you could tell that Ray and Kidman are, like, kind of step by step, paint by numbers.
Oh,
doing things. Rey Mysterio threw a regular just suplex at one point, and I was like, I don't think I've ever seen Rey Mysterio just throw a suplex on somebody.
No, I know. They were definitely, trying to keep it. But yeah, like ICP, they look like guys who learned how to bump and then that was it. Like the rest of the moves, they're like, ah, we can just practice those at home.
Yeah, it was a whole lot of something. And the match I watched after that was Disorderly Conduct, which, I mean, we can talk about that match for hours. We could do a whole podcast on Disorderly Conduct against Ray and Kidman.
Bro, it was great. It was great. It was great.
They had to be Hogan guys, right? They had to be friends with Hogan. Yes?
No, I just assumed they were just Southern guys. And,
man, they kept jobs with WCW from 98 all the way till they closed.
Yeah, because they were awesome.
Man, I don't know. I looked them up a bit, just a little bit, and they worked with like Knobs and stuff. Like they had to be like Hogan dudes. Had to be.
Probably, maybe here's the Venn diagram. Here's where we cross over. They were probably Florida guys. So like I'm right, they were just Southern guys, but yeah, they probably
Texas guys. Or
something. Oh, well then I don't know.
Yeah, they worked for like World Class.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I figured they'd be Southern guys like that. That's the vibe I got.
Whew, I don't know. I'm not joking. I will do a Disorderly Conduct episode.
Oh, well, they've got many years. We'll see eventually. But back to Ray and Kidman.
Sorry. I keep getting distracted by them. I stopped everything I was doing to look up more about Disorderly Conduct. I couldn't get enough. And I remember them when I was growing up, Mean Mike and Tough Tom.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Me and Mike and Tough Tom. But still, like, even though it was on their tights, I still couldn't really tell who was who.
No, God, no. So I went to a Malenko and Saturn. Malenko and Saturn, I feel like I can't remember what team we were doing, but I watched a Malenko and Saturn match. I think it might have been Edge and Christian. And Malenko and Saturn don't get along. And that's the story in this match, too. And I'm like, man, do these guys ever have a match where they get along?
Okay, I was going to say, yeah, this match was okay, but it was like, yeah, mostly them just telling a story of they don't get along a little.
Yeah, and I'm not joking. I'm pretty sure it was Edge and Christian that we were watching, and I did a Malenko and Saturn match, and it was they didn't get along for a different reason. It was when Saturn was, like, crazy. But still, Malenko and Saturn don't get along, and that's the story of this match. They have one story.
Yeah, or maybe they just never got along. We never knew. It was in front of us all along.
Okay, so I watched that Boogie Nights match. That's the one that you didn't watch.
No, yeah, tell me about it.
So this is when... So now we've lost the Filthy Animals theme, which is a tragedy.
Okay.
Because they're coming out to what I believe is Tigress's theme.
Oh, how progressive of them.
And this is where we start getting into one of my favorite bits in wrestling history, which is, hey, Tigress, you like my headband? Touch it. That's enough. I'm not joking. I can't get enough of that shit.
The funny thing was, I vaguely remembered it until meeting you when I was younger, and you and all you guys around here loved it. So I was like,
that's enough.
Kyle, it's a bigger thing in Rochester than in New Windsor.
So they do that bit, and then Billy Kidman cuts a bad promo. A bad, bad promo. I'm talking like all-time bad. Alex Wright at the time, because this is post-Berlin, right?
Yeah. Now he's back to being a little more goofy, right?
He's back to being Alex Wright. He's just got these long tights. He's bald and just has sideburns that are about as big as his ear. That's it. No beard. No hair, but sideburns that are about as big as his ear. So he just has rectangles of hair on either side of his face. And it was distracting. I'm not joking. Yes, it was actually a really good match. And Alex Wright, I think, is super underrated. He was gigantic.
Yeah, that was always the weird thing, that he was a cruiserweight, but I was like, he's ginormous, and yes, he's better than people remember, but I feel like the fact that he had, like, the cruiserweight on him, I was like, I don't really, like, I feel like he probably would have had a better career if they were just like, here's a skinny heavyweight.
Yeah, but he was athletic, but he was like 6'3", 6'4", but he would do all this flashy stuff.
It's weird when a guy that tall is doing, like, leapfrogs and drop-downs.
But not just leapfrogs and drop-downs, he was doing, like, front handsprings and shit.
No, I know, and it's athletic and it's cool, but like it's like Dijakovic, same thing. I'm like, I don't like it when you're so like, yes, I get you're big and athletic, but I don't know, leave that to the smaller guys like Ray and Kidman.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. And once again, my one big takeaway was how I love Ray does his thing and runs hot and then just clears the lane. That's like his thing. He clears the ring.
Oh yeah, like I said, he knows how to make an entrance and an exit.
We talked about it with like Rock and Roll Express. No one clears a ring like the Rock and Roll Express. I don't know, man. Rey Mysterio cleared a ring.
Oh, he can, and so can Kidman. Like Kidman's hot tag of, or even his shines with hip tosses and stuff. Like it wasn't. It was weird because. Okay, here's a take I had. He was WWE or Fed style before he got to the Fed. Like his opens in WCW were very like basic. They were flashy and cruiserweighty, but like you weren't getting Ranas and Toreadors and Hippo Naces or anything. You know what I mean?
Well, Billy Kidman was like just barely not. He was like the next step evolution of like Brian Pillman cruiserweight. You know?
Really?
Kind of, because he was just like. White, almost heavyweight, but cruiserweight, because he was smaller than everybody. But at the end of the day, he just did, like, drop kicks, and he could do a shooting star, which eventually got scary. But outside of that, and his wacky head scissors, he really just did kind of heavyweight stuff.
Yeah, like, but it was weird. When I was watching it, I grew more of an appreciation for him. Like, I always thought he was a good wrestler, but I was like, oh, he's better than I thought. Like, what did you think when you watched Kidman?
No, I always thought he was good. I've always known he's good. When he cut his hair off, he went from, like, 25 to 40 immediately.
Oh yeah, yeah. We can get into his the differences between Kidman and WCW and WWE. But okay, here's an odd. All right, here's maybe my hot take. Like I said, he was Fed style before he was in the Fed. In my mind, here's the thing: if you go back to his lineage, he was an ECWA guy, so he was with Jim Kettner and like Super 8. So like. I almost think, like, if he held out another year, he probably would have gotten into, like, the Dory Funk camps and yada, yada, yada. In my brain, he could have been Christian.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? And think about this. Think about this. If you're Vince McMahon and you had Christian and he can do a shooting star press, what is that? Yeah. Does that change things? You know what I mean? Like, part of me is like, wow, what's his WWF career look like?
I guess that is probably a better comparison. He is more Christian-like than he was Pillman-like. But I was just thinking, like, from the WCW cruiserweight lineage, you know?
But, like I said, as I'm watching him work, I'm like, he doesn't do anything super flashy. It's all crisp and, like, you know, he reverses the hip toss, or he'll do the one where, you know, he backflip you backflip him out of the hip toss, yada, 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 you know. He can do all that stuff, but, like, yeah, early on, he struck me as, like, Christian. And in my head, I was like, wow, what if he went Christian's route? What does he do in WWE? But part of me is like, I feel like something was always missing with his look. So I feel like that may have held him back.
Yeah, I can see that. As we're getting into like later WCW, every late WCW match I watch of them was so sloppy and so messy. And like, I do expect more out of Kidman and Ray, especially at that point, but I do give them the benefit of the doubt because it was late era WCW. But man, what was going on?
See, okay, oddly, I don't hold that against them. Like, I feel if anything, they were, if anything, the ones who had psychology amongst all that insanity at the end of WCW. You know what I mean? Like, I still feel like their matches were still good work rate tag matches. And, like, yeah, some of them, like, okay, like, when Elix Skipper's in there and stuff, when Kid Romeo's in there, like, yeah, it's, like, I remember in one of my notes, like, it's starting to veer towards bad. But, like, I always felt like they kept it on the tracks, at least. I'll say that.
I don't hold it against them, but I feel like they should have actually been keeping it on the tracks, as opposed to, like, why is it, like, that match with Lance Storm and Elix Skipper is bad. That's a bad match. It just strays all over the place. They're, like, it looks like they don't know what the fuck they're doing at points, like, and there's a bunch of that. And then same thing with that three count match. The three count match was at least better, but they're still, like, I expect that Rey Mysterio and Kidman can at least keep this thing on the tracks enough that it's not, because that Skipper and Lance Storm match is a runaway. That thing is gone.
Okay, that was the one where I was like, okay, it's getting bad. That was the only one where I was like, okay. Surprisingly, listen to this. Them versus Elix Skipper and Kida Romeo went like 15 minutes on that Greed pay-per-view, and they kept it on the tracks, surprisingly. Like, that Kid Romeo kid was not half bad. Like, he was a little extra, a little too animated, but I was like, at least, like, he could do the, like, he held up his end, and then, like, Elix Skipper was rough around the edges, but, like, yeah, 15 minutes, I was like, oh, how is this gonna go? And they kept it on the tracks.
Yeah, that three-count match I watched, which was the semifinals to lead them to the finals, it ends, which that match was kind of rough, but, like, they managed to keep it above board. Yep. And then Romeo and Skipper come out, and even the sequence they do in the ring trying to build up this Greed match is sloppy, and I was like, ugh, I can't even.
Yeah, no, I had to watch it, because I remember watching Kid Romeo. I even have freaking the Super Juniors 2000 that he was in. That's right, in New Japan. I have that on VHS, folks. That's right, VHS.
So after that match, I was like, with that build, I cannot possibly go on to watch these finals. With them being sloppy and even the quick one spot they had to do, I'm not doing it. I got to switch to WWE now. They only have like two matches left in WCW. I'm going to WWE stuff.
Okay, here's one that you missed then. You missed. Rey and Kidman versus Chavo and Animal is amazing.
I saw it on the docket, and I skipped it, and there's a couple that I regret skipping, and that's one of them.
It's weird because it's like, it's Chavo's has like beef with them, and like he's like, I've got a mystery partner, ha ha ha. And I forget all the million times that, you know, Animal and stuff were in and out, and guys of his like were in and out of WCW. This is that one of those times where he was in and they were giving him a push for some reason. So like literally he comes in, like the whole thing, it's Chavo's, you know, trying to out wrestling, blah blah blah. Eventually he's like, ha ha, he tags in his big man. And homeboy runs wild for a second. But then, sure enough, they do. Rey and Kidman chop him down with, like, he takes drop kicks, does in bumps. And they're like, all right, drop kick to the knees. He takes the big face bump. Then they do drop kicks to the side of the face. He sells up. Then Kidman goes for top rope crossbody. He catches him, power slams the crap out of him. Rey goes for springboard Rana. He catches him, hits him with a huge sit out powerbomb. 1, 2, 3. He just looked like a beast. It was amazing.
Man, that sounds awesome, actually, not for nothing.
Yeah, like, because I was like, oh, okay, Animal's going to get in there. He's going to be slow and lumbering, and he's just going to eat him up. And it was like, no, he got in there. He let them, you know, show his, like, he showed his size, then got chopped down, then showed his size again, and then hit the biggest move of the match, 1, 2, 3.
We discussed it at one point, and I think it was when we did the Kings of Wrestling, about doing a podcast, like an episode about one person. But all the tag team stuff they did, Road Warrior Animal would be a fun one to do.
Oh, yeah, because he's had one-off or two-off matches with a ton of people.
Yeah, that would be a good one. So then I get around to the WWE stuff.
Yes, let's go there.
And right off the bat, you can feel, especially after watching the late era stuff, right off the bat, you can tell that the structure of WWE is so much better for them.
Really? Oh, this is going to be good.
Because in WCW, like, the amount of times I watched a referee count for the illegal person when he knew it was the illegal person and just didn't care was infuriating.
Okay.
Throughout. It was early, it was late, it was in the middle, it didn't matter. So then when we get to WWE and they have that, like right off the bat, there was like a situation where somebody was trying to pin somebody and it wasn't the right person and they said no. And I was like, man, hell yeah. And they worked within it so well.
Okay. Here was my opinion of them going to WCW, or the first things I noticed between WCW to WWE. It stunk because, like, the first one I watched was the last one you watched, the Tajiri Nunzio one, and I was like, oh, that was really just a match to try and get more heat on Tajiri and Ray's feud type thing. Same yes. with, like, the first and then the next one I watched was, like, Shannon Moore and Matt Hardy, and it was just really, like, okay, like, Ray and Kidman won, but it was really like, oh, look at Matt Hardy's new gimmick and his new slack and his new lackey. So I was kind of like, oh, man. That, like, so that set me off kind of bad, and I was just like, oh, it stinks. Like, as soon as you see Kidman, he's just so blah. And I'm just like, and, like, Ray's still Ray. So I was like, okay, at least he's still him. But, like, I feel like Kidman dropped a lot. But once I got into the matches with the World's Greatest Tag Team, all of a sudden he came to life again. But, like, my initial thoughts were, I was like, you could see such a stark difference of, like, it was like, okay, in WCW, you wrestle your style. In WWE, you wrestle WWE style. You know what I mean?
Yes, but I don't know, man. Right off the first one I watched was the Matt Hardy Shannon Moore one. And it was the first time I saw Kidman throw a shooting star in this entire exercise.
Oh, really? Okay, I saw way more matches, so I saw a bunch of them.
I didn't see a single shooting star in any of those matches. He goes up for it a bunch of times and gets cut down. And then we get to this Matt Hardy, Shannon Moore. Here we go. Shooting star. It's ugly, but shooting star. I was like, hell yeah, Kidman, let's go.
Oh, no. A bunch in his WCW stuff, but those are the ones I watched. But yeah, he hit it a bunch of times, and it was way better in WCW.
And if we can get back to the theme song discussion. Whew, Billy Kidman's WWE theme was a banger.
I don't remember. I think I fast-forwarded through them all.
Wow. Because, I mean, Ray's theme is an all-timer.
Well, that was the thing. Like, I was like, oh, okay, I already know Ray's. I was like, all right, let's go. Boom, boom, boom,
and
boom.
They always got separate entrances. So we'd get the Ray so we can get his whole popping up through the floor. And then we get the, you can run if you want to, but you can't hide.
I was busy looking at the times of the matches, and then, like, I was like, oh, they get two entrances. I was like, I want to get to the wrestling. Come on. And I'd fast forward to the wrestling.
Bro, you miss an all-timer. But yeah, so the Hardy and Moore was the first shooter I saw. And then in the World's Greatest Tag Team, the pay-per-view one, he does the climb up shooter to the floor.
Oh, dude, he was throwing shooter to the floor in the WCW matches. I was like, why? Like, he was doing it in the most random ones, and I was just like, why are you doing that? And, you know, and it was crazy, yeah.
But the World's Greatest Tag Team match, that's the last one you watch. If we can get into that. So there's a point in it where the crowd is, like, atomic for this match. The crowd is, like,
champ bullshit. They chant bullshit off of the, what was it? It was Lucha Pop Top Rope Rana.
Yes, but leading up to that, what was the spot? I can't remember. Ray hits something, and then Kidman basically just lumbers into the ring, and the ref just goes to Kidman arbitrarily, and then Shelton boots Ray off the pin, and then they both tumble to the floor. But, like, it doesn't make any sense, you know? And it literally, you watch it take the crowd out of the match. You watch the crowd just sink because it doesn't make any sense. Like, Kidman was on the floor and just slid under the bottom to distract the ref on his own partner's pin, you know? So, like, it just goes to show that, like, when things like that, you think it's just like, oh, yeah, whatever, we're just trying to get to the next thing. But no, the crowd literally was taken out by the fact that this fucking it didn't make sense.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like the Lucha Pop, that false finish was the high point. And then it was just like, all right, we just got to figure out how to get home. And, like, so I wasn't against that it fell apart a little because I don't know. Once that happened, I was like, oh, man, they're not going to. Like, you know what I mean? As the fan in me was like, oh, they're not going to win. All right, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but it was just like, I don't know. That's how I felt. I felt like, you know, something, it just seems like something so small, like, oh, yeah, the ref will just go to him because he came in the ring, but why did he come in the ring? And the crowd feels that and sees that. And then they were at, like, an atomic level at that point. And it just kind of brings them down. And then they get them back. You know, the finish is gross. And that top rope Rana pop was awesome. But still, you know, like...
Well, I feel like it was going to be bad guys winning anyway, so it was like, whatever. We give them, like, the whole point of that match was to get that big, was to get the bullshit chain. After that, it was like, all right, mission accomplished. Let's get out of here.
Damn. I guess what? So. I mean, I love the match. They had a rematch on SmackDown, like, that next week that was actually longer than the pay-per-view match, and I was like, ooh, maybe I watched that. But I was like, no, I'm not going to. I don't want to go back to the well right now.
Okay, but what you missed then was Ray Kidman versus Christian and Lance Storm, the Un-Americans. Global.
Dude, I didn't even see that.
Global warming, November 5th, 02. Here are my notes. Kidman, great shine with Storm, and then does a double line to both of them. This was an amazing – here's the thing. Since it's, I guess, you know, foreign commentary or whatever, or, in you know, it's one of those – C shows or whatever, Taz and Cole are having a doozy on the on the commentary. So they're putting over Ray, and then Cole's like, oh yeah, you like him, someone you're taller than. And then Taz in like the shootiest shoots just like, I feel like Tess next to him, I'm like 3 inches taller. He's like, I got 3 inches on him. But the line, he goes, I feel like Tess next to this guy, I got 3 inches on him. They put heat on Ray, but you could tell, like, actually, no, Lance Storm's wrestled them a bunch. Lance Storm forgets how light Ray is. Like, at one point, they go for, like, the tumble gorilla press to clothesline hotshot himself on the top rope. They almost throw him out of the ring.
Nice.
Like, it's scary. Like, it hits him in, like, you can tell it's what's in, like, the throat. It hits him, like, in the midsection, the top rope. What else? Storm and Christian, I put, have good behind-the-back muggery. Like, when the rest backs turn, like, they do it in a weird or cool cadence we may steal. One guy's punching while the other one's kicking, so it just looks way more vicious.
Okay.
What else? There's... Oh, Kidman got a good hot tag. He hits the tornado bulldog, kicks Christian off the apron while doing it. Hot spots. I'm like, all right, evolution. Where do you think Christian goes?
Oh, commentary.
He goes to the ring.
Timekeepers.
He goes to the timekeeper's table. 2 seconds later, the belt gets thrown in the ring. I was like, oh, it's just lining up. This is amazing. But the best part is he may have done it too early, because literally they do like 2 minutes with the belt in the middle of the ring. He throws it in the ring. It's a 619 on Christian, then the lucha pop to the top rope Rana. Then he goes up, hits the shooting star press on Storm. But what's great about the shooting star press, you're always in the corner. 1-2, Christian pulls him out to the floor. Where am I? Pulls him out to the floor. Then Ray hits an acai onto him. And then, he pulled the ref. I'm sorry. He pulled the ref to the floor. Ray hits the acai. And then in the ring, Storm hits him with the belt shot. 1-2-3. It was amazing. And it was all the tropes. You know what I mean? Christian had to go to the timetable and get to the freaking belt. And then, oh, sure enough, something happens on the floor. No one's looking. Belt shot. 1-2-3. It was great. And the crowd loved it too.
And this, you found this on YouTube?
No, this is on the network.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, here are the weird games I've learned with the network. Like, when I look up Ray and Kidman, it gives me one thing. And if you look up Kidman and Ray, I was like, what are these other matches?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you gotta, like when we were doing Steiner Brothers, sometimes you look up Steiner Brothers, sometimes you look up Steiners, sometimes you look up Rick and Scott Steiner.
Yeah. So that's how I ended up finding it. It was weird because I kept up looking like Ray and Kidman, because in my mind I was just calling Ray and Kidman. And then I was like, oh, one day I was like, oh, I put Kidman and Ray. And I was like, oh, this is different things. But yeah, that one was great.
Interesting. Kind of mad I missed that. I definitely would have put on the watching if I saw it.
Oh yeah, right. I saw it and was like, oh, I got to watch this towards the end. This is going to be good.
All right. Let's talk about it. What made Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman the Filthy Animals so great?
Okay, because by the time when they're Filthy Animals, by that point, their run in WCW is so established and they have so much credibility, and they always deliver on it. You know what I mean? Like, never, I don't think I don't think they ever left crowds being like, oh man, I wish I wanted more. Like, they always delivered. And the fact that you had seen them for so many years and you were like, you know what I mean, the crowd was already pre-hyped by the time they came out as a tag team to see them wrestle. And like I said, Ray can make an entrance and an exit like nobody's business. And then Kidman, like I said, was way more of a worker than I thought. I always, for some reason, I always pictured him as like flock guy with the itch and the torn up shirt and the hair. And like, that's how I picture my Kidman. I was like, yeah, he had the, you know, the wife beater and stuff, but no. The wife beater stuff was way better than I remembered.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then, black jorts, no beater. That might be my favorite Kidman.
Oh, and here was my other note for why they were great. Like, in a weird way, they were like the cruiserweight version of Hall and Nash.
Okay, I got a different one.
Okay, what do you got?
They were the cruiserweight mega powers.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, they were the two coolest and like best of their division put together.
Yes, so that was what I think made them great. They were the cruiserweight mega powers. They were Hogan and Macho, but of the WCW cruiserweight division, they were the two best doing it, and just got put together and had like a nice lengthy run with it. But in their case, it was I think they were honestly best when they were that was what they were. They were like the cruiserweight vets. They were the cruiserweight vet team. They were the two experienced who could handhold and walk the others through it. But outside of that, they had a really good run with basically anybody they would wrestle, because they were both cruiserweights, but succeeded, like had success in like the heavyweight division. They were both kind of similar in that way. So I think when it came to putting them together, like that's why it worked. That's why they were good together.
Yeah, man. What I loved about the team was that, like you said, they could wrestle with anyone. Like, Kidman was the worker. He could wrestle with anyone. And then Ray may have been the most down-to-clown wrestler in the world. Like, when you're like, oh, when you're going to Virgil and you're like, yeah, I'm going to give you a top rope run, I was like, you're willing to do crazy stuff with anyone on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. That ICP match, Rey Mysterio lets one of them press slam him onto the other one's knee. Like, come on, man. Those two dudes literally could, like, bumping was as far as they got. And Rey was like, yeah, do it. Let's go.
Yeah, Rey did not care who you were. Rey didn't care if you were a job team named Disorderly Conduct. He was going to take top rope shoulder blocks. He was going to take power slams. He was going to take spine buzzers. No matter who, like, he must have just loved bumping. Like, his body must be, like... And the funny part was watching all his early stuff when he would moonsault onto his knees. I was like, oh, Ray, remember those knees like 13 surgeries ago?
Whew. That's why baggy pants became a thing from a man.
Yeah, I know. But watching him when he was in his prime, like this stuff, you know what I mean? And it's funny, I didn't even realize, without the mask, like he's probably at his best.
Yeah, for sure.
He still has his knees.
Yeah. He's in baggy pants, but he doesn't need those baggy pants. It's not because he's hiding giant knee braces underneath.
Well, obviously. But he also had some cool jumpsuits. He had some cool outfits.
He wore horns cool a couple suits. Times. I'm jealous of how he looks at times, because I'm like, I could never pull that off. I wish I could pull that off. He looks so cool.
God, no. Yeah, some of his outfits, I was like, yeah, only he could pull that off.
Man, I wish I could. I'm not joking. I'm literally jealous.
You wish you had pure players overalls?
Yeah, I do. I wish I had a jumpsuit, a pure players jumpsuit, sleeveless. All right, so how would we have defeated the team of Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman?
Evil shenanigans. That's the one thing, like, unfortunately, you never got to see them with, like almost, like, the opposite end of them, like, almost like a veteran bad guy team. You know what I mean? Like, the worst they did was, like, Parka and Psychosis got a bunch of heat in that one match I watched, but I was like, okay, but, like, you know what I mean? We'd have to beat them by being dastardly heels.
Yeah, that's true. They also never really got, like, I don't know, like, they were tag champs, but they never really got, like, a good run as a team. You know, they would, it seemed like their run always came in spurts.
Well, so, yeah, like we said, they're so well known, it's real easy to just be like, oh, Ray and Kidman, they're both super legit. We can just put them as a team and have the belt on them in a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they literally, between both belts, they held titles for like 41 days combined. Like, they had them, they lost them, they, you know. So I didn't really have a good answer on how we would beat them. I don't think we couldn't. It's not because I think they're unbeatable. I just didn't have a good, clever answer for this. I just feel like, and this is going to sound whatever, I just feel like we could beat them.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. We'd probably out-teamwork them because, like, we have regular double teams, whereas they're just throwing stuff against the wall. It's cool as shit, but you know what I mean? Like, they're a little – they're not as cohesive, I would assume, as us.
Yeah, I think they're super talented, both of them separately and together. They made a good team, but I don't think they're unbeatable, and I don't even think that, like – I need an absolute, like, clever answer for a certain way we'd beat them. I just think we could beat them. I just think that they're a team that we would match up well with and have a pretty solid back and forth. And it's one of those teams where, like, I don't think I need an answer for a specific way we could beat them, because I think it would be a coin flip match. I think either team could win any of the outings. And I think they'd go the same way probably every time, just minus the end, or very similar, you know?
I agree. I'll play it serious and agree. And then I'll go with my joke of, actually, I saw a way to win. You actually powerbomb Billy Kidman, because Shelton Benjamin did it. He didn't win with it. On the second time, he did fail and get a facebuster, but they did eventually win. So I feel like as long as you somewhere in a match – get to powerbomb Kidman, you will win.
Yeah, or when Rey Mysterio tries to Rana you out of the ring, you just let him fall to the outside and you stay in the ring.
You just raise your arms.
Yeah, just Lego.
You know what I mean? Just, you know, form a triangle over your head and he'll fall and you're good.
Yeah, all right. Well, man, we talked way longer on Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio than I thought we were going to, for sure.
Yeah, okay. And at the end of the day, I'll guess I'll have to say they did pass. They are a great team. They deserve to be high up in the rankings as they are.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that for sure. I mean I enjoyed watching them. I thought they would have more. I just think because I already knew of so many of their matches that I was like, oh, they gotta have way more. And they gave us this treat of disorderly conduct, which I'll be falling asleep thinking about for weeks.
All right. Just make sure to find that Chavo Animal one.
Yeah, I probably legitimately am going to. All right. Well, that is it. We're over an hour, Cheech.
I love it.
Wow. I'm going to have to the intro is going to be just be me reciting lyrics to the Filthy Animals theme, and then I'm going to say, here's the team. But yeah, that's another one down. I don't want to put you on the spot for a team next week, but I feel like we have to do, and we haven't done this. During the time, the 6-7 months of us doing this podcast, we have had some great tag team wrestlers pass away. Mm-hmm. We lost Shad. We lost Road Warrior Animal, but today we lost Tracy Smothers.
Yeah, you went there. Oddly enough, yes, I know you're probably going to get to it.
We didn't do Crime Time when Shad passed. We were saving Road Warrior Animals so we can do the Road Warriors. But I feel like next week we gotta do a Tracy Smothers team.
All right, I'm in. I'm down, because honestly, FBI might have been the other option I thought of this week.
Do you want to do FBI or do you want to do Young Pistols?
See, that's the problem. I don't know. You pick. You tell me.
So I don't know, man. I think FBI, we could probably get more FBI matches.
All right, that works for me.
I think we'll be able to find more Guido and Smothers than we will Young Pistols. But, man, Young Pistols. If anyone has a hookup on where I can find Young Pistols / Southern Boys in New Japan, then we're definitely doing Young Pistons slash Southern Boys. Because they had like a year-long run in New Japan.
Yep, dude, man, they were great. Come on. But yeah, they're a little tougher to come by. So yeah, FBI might be a little easier.
All right. I'm excited. I already, because of everything, I already had started watching some random Tracy stuff, but it made me want to do more, and I think it's only appropriate.
All right, let's do it.
All right, that's it. Next week, FBI, Tracy Smothers, Little Guido, let's do it. I'll see you then.
Adios.